Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
So, you know, if you've been listening along, this year we've dubbed the Year of Marvel.
Yes, we've mentioned that.
A few times. So, yeah, 2021, Year of Marvel.
Yes.
Why is that? All because of the Marvel.
Yeah.
But to go along with that, we're actually doing a few episodes looking at the past of Marvel.
Yes.
And this week, we're going to do Phase 3, Part 1.
Whoa, what?
Hopefully we don't turn to dust at the end of this. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yes, in January, we look Phase 1, February, Phase 2. But Phase 3 is a big one.
Yeah, really big. Yeah. Like, if you look at the list of movies, it's like, oh, wow, that's all one phase? That's crazy.
And big stuff within those that long list of movies. So we are breaking her up into two parts.
Big two-parter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, as always, when we do these kinds of things, huge spoiler warning coming.
I mean, it's a while ago now, so
yeah.
If you haven't watched them yet, you have no one to blame but yourself.
Very true. You should be watching them anyway.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, though, we have some opening beginning of show items, and we have a new one. This is the very first time we're doing this because it's March, and it's March Madness. But in our world, that means Disney version.
Well, I'm not big on basketball.
Right. So, which is shocking, because how tall are you?
Tall enough, but no, I don't play basketball. So you can just forget that right now.
So we're actually looking at the Disneyland Parks favorite. We have four categories, and each week we're going to do four items within each category, a best of, and we let people vote on social media. And then we'll announce the next one as well as the next category. So for the last week, we have had people voting on favorite snack item.
Ooh, I like snacks.
Yeah, it's a good one to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So we had people voting between turkey legs, churros, Dole Whip, and corn dogs. Favorite Disney park snack item.
Hmm. This is a pretty good list.
Yeah. What would you vote for?
I'd probably go churros just because it's funny.
Yeah. Because...
Churro!
Churros got a lot of votes, but it did not win. Dole Whip is going to the last round.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Which is what I would vote for.
Dole Whips are pretty classic. Yeah. It's just I don't like pineapple, so yeah, it's not for me, but...
I would have voted exactly how the results went, which was Dole Whip in first and then churros in second, you know, but kind of halfway. And then after that, it was actually turkey leg and then corn dog.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's fine.
Yes. So we are going to be voting next week on Dark Ride.
Ooh.
Yeah, we picked four classic Dark Rides, and we decided to stick within Disneyland itself. We're not going California Adventure for this.
Just Disneyland.
So if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you can vote. Go ahead and vote on there. I'll be posting things throughout the week, giving you a chance to vote. And if not, then you should follow us, and we'll put all that stuff at the end of the show. Yeah. Another thing that we always talk about top of the show, what is a nerd thing you're currently into, Brandon, this week?
Well, I mean, this is something that we both did, but with WandaVision getting close to the end, normally we have to wait until, like, we're done work and all that and stuff, but this past Thursday, we stayed up till, 1 a.m. on Friday morning for it to come out our time. And we watched it as soon as it came out.
Yes.
Although Disney Plus was down for like 5 minutes at the start, we were slightly worried. But
a little worried. Yeah, one of us had to work the next day.
It was not me.
It was, yeah. I can do this because I'm a grown-up.
Yeah. We're grown-ups. Yeah.
Staying up late to watch WandaVision.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. Which, you know what? Let's come back, because since we were just talking about that, what did you think of the newest WandaVision episode?
You know, now that I have had a chance to sleep on it, you asked me what I thought like right after we watched it, and I was kind of bemused almost.
Hmm, nice word.
But now I've had a chance to think about it a little bit. I like it a little more.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk about without like spoiling things.
Right. And, okay. So just you liked it.
I liked it. I liked what they did with it, and it had some really good acting in it.
Yes, it did. I haven't told you this yet. So that day at work, I have my last class of the day is a creative writing class. And it's a very small class. It's a brand new one. And I have some fabulous students in there. And I was explaining to them all as they came in why I was so tired. I said, guys, I did something pretty nerdy. I stayed up really late to watch it. And the one girl started laughing at her. She was sitting at her laptop and she'd just come into the room. The bell hadn't rung yet or anything like that. And her hair was all down, so I didn't see her face. And she looked up and her eyes were all red. She was crying. She's like, I'm just finishing the episode. And I was like, are you that emotional? okay then. We'll discuss things later.
Alrighty then. Yeah.
And I don't know if there was like, that's not really a spoiler or anything. She was just like really into it and like upset. Yeah. Yeah. That I was interrupting her watching to have class.
But anyway, I'm really looking forward to the final episode. So we'll see how that goes. But
it better be a long one. There's a lot to do in there.
Supposed to be the longest one, but I don't know.
This one was actually 40 some minutes.
I don't know if it's going to be long enough.
Well, yeah.
They got a lot to do.
They do have a lot to do. I loved it. I loved it right after watching it. I loved it now. Loved it. So let's back up a little bit. My nerd thing this week is actually something that I haven't done yet, but I've been planning on starting March 1st when this comes out. The Disney Bound. The official Disney Bound challenge is happening all through March. They do little ones throughout the year, but their official big, huge one is throughout March, and I'm going to challenge myself to take part as much as possible.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's not, I probably won't do every day or anything like that, but March 1st is, there's pretty cool prompts throughout it. March 1st is something inspired by a Disney movie that came out when you were 10 years old. So I'm super excited because my favorite Disney movie growing up came out when I was 10 years old.
Yeah. 95. What happened in 95?
Pocahontas came out.
Oh.
So I will also post pictures and stuff like that on Instagram. You know what? It's tough, though, because you know what else came out in 95? Toy Story.
Yeah, see, that's much better.
No, I've got a different Toy Story thing in that works for later in the month. Maybe. We'll see. What are you drinking?
I'm trying something a little different today. Mm-hmm. It's a passion fruit vodka soda beverage of some kind. It's really nice, actually. Yeah. It's a good passion fruit flavor to it.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, I like it anyway.
Yeah, it's good.
How about you?
I'm I don't have any alcohol in mine.
Mm.
I know. I am having a fancy soda, a gourmet soda.
Whoa.
The last little bit of it, anyway. I was in a nearby city to us earlier today, and they have the movie theater there, like, they're doing, their concession is open, and they have a gourmet soda stand, and each of the drinks are named after something to do with the movie. So I'm having one called the Truffle Shuffle. And it is root beer with toasted marshmallow cream.
Ooh.
Is the flavor combination there.
Yeah, it's very root beery, which is not my thing.
I love it.
Now, I'm seeming negative on this show. Like, I don't like pineapple, I don't like root beer.
Well,
I like things, I just those things.
You just don't like happiness.
No, I'm pretty good with happiness, I just don't like root beer.
Well, my favorite one by them, though, that I've tried so far is another root beer one, and it's called the Baby Groot Beer.
Which is a fabulous name.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, actually, we have a review that we haven't read yet on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I wanted to share that one.
Hopefully it's a good one.
It is.
Okay.
And the topic is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Well done. Yeah.
The sound of it is quite atrocious.
Mm.
So this one says, I've never been a podcast type, but I'm loving is in capitals.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. This one. I relate to the chosen topics and all the pop culture humor and references. I love the banter back and forth.
Oh, we don't do banter.
What? Yes, we do.
Oh.
I love the lists and thematic ideas. Also, I like finding out what they are drinking, what's nerdy, and what trivia will be asked each week. Such a fun duo to listen to.
Aww. Aww,
thanks. And that is from, I'm probably saying this wrong, but it's Migamon or Mijimon?
Migimon?
Anyways, thanks, Lindsay. She does very well in our trivia. So we've had shout-outs to her before.
Absolutely.
She usually does better than us in our trivia.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard most of the time.
That's true. Okay, and so that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update. Okay, so we've got a couple news items. Some big ones actually came out. So I'm going to kind of start with a small one. We have some new Nuimos.
Nuimos.
It's at the beginning of every month. Yeah, is right. Because, at the beginning of every month, they're going to add new ones. Or at the end of every month. Anyway, they just announced that... at the beginning of every month, they have new ones available. So very soon to be available.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have Kermit and Miss Piggy. Aww. And that Kermit is like ridiculously
Kermit is
adorable.
I was looking at pictures of these and I was like, oh, Kermit and Miss Piggy, that's perfect. Kermit was well done. Miss Piggy looks kind of funny to me.
Yeah, you said that. I think she looks adorable. She does remind me a little bit more Muppet Babies-ish.
Yeah, they're both Muppet Babies style almost. Yeah. But yeah, the eyes on the Miss Piggy new emo don't.
Not a fan.
I don't like them. No.
I am a huge pig fan. They're like my favorite animal. Mm-hmm. But between the two, I would actually probably go Kermit if I had to choose between two.
He's really cute.
He's really cute, and he's just ridiculously adorable. So that's one. Star is now available on Disney Plus.
Yeah, we talked about it was released shortly after our last episode aired. We talked about it last week.
Yeah, and we said it was coming. Well, now it's here.
Now it's here, and we checked it out. It has a pretty good selection of stuff you wouldn't expect to find on Disney Plus because it's more adult oriented and. Yep. Yeah, it's cool.
That also started a huge argument in my class between two students. They were talking about looking at all the Star content, and then that devolved into a Marvel conversation, and two boys started screaming at each other about who made the better Spider-Man. It wasn't very effective because I sat and laughed at them. And then they were only kind of half screaming. It wasn't violent. It was a very serious conversation.
It's becoming an important debate, almost like who's your favorite Bond or
Sean
whatever.
It's not a question. That's just an answer. It's one right answer. Anyway,
not a Lazenby fan.
Anyway. Then the big one is we finally have a lot of information about we were kind of saying it was like a food and wine event, even though it wasn't called food and wine. It is officially called A Touch of Disney.
A little touch.
So we have a lot of information that came out. It is going to begin March 18th. Tickets go on sale on the 4th. They haven't announced what time yet or anything like that, but it'll be the morning on the 4th. Yeah. So there are a lot of iconic food and beverage items from both Disneyland Park and California Adventure that will be available in DCA. It says from churros and the world famous Dole Whip to the classic Monte Cristo sandwich that's usually only found in New Orleans Square.
Yeah, and they're doing this all as snack sizes.
Yes,
so you can like try a bunch of different things.
It's like all bites and sips is the idea.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
They're going to be at locations around the park, including Smoke Jumper's Grill, Adorable Snowman Frosted Treats, Award Wieners, Cochina Cucamonga, and six seasonal and creatively themed marketplaces, kind of like the booths from Food and Wine is what we're looking at there.
Little food carts.
Yeah, exactly. And retail locations are going to be open. There's also going to be some things like, the candy store, like the Bing Bong Sweet Stuff and things like that. And they have like themed candy apples. It's going to be a big deal. The entire park is open.
Yep. Everything but Avengers Campus.
Except Avengers
Campus.
Exactly.
I think that's the biggest news there. Yes. Is that you're going to actually be able to walk all around California Adventure and just take in that Disney magic.
But only if you have tickets. Mm-hmm. So this event is only running Thursdays to Mondays. The other days is going to be closed. And Buena Vista Street is completely closed during any time from March 18th on.
Yeah, they're shutting down because they've had Buena Vista Street open just to go shopping and stuff. They're going to shut that down, and now you can only get in there when this is ticketed and open, so you have to pay, and it's not going to be open the other days. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's from March 18th to April 5th. It is a $75 ticket that includes admission and parking and a $25 dining card.
So you're paying $50 to walk around a park with no rides. That's pretty spendy, if you ask me.
But people are kind of starved for something. You know
to
what?
Do,
That's about exactly what I thought they were going to pay. Like $50 plus parking, but not including a dining gift card. Like that is pretty much in par with what I was thinking. It's spendy, but it's also,
I don't know if I would be doing it myself.
But I think if I lived there, I would be, but I sure wouldn't be making a trip to go do it.
No, well,
but if I lived there, absolutely. Plus, cast members are getting some work this way.
It is nice that they're actually able to call back some cast members and give them a paying gig again.
And there's been reports that they're going to have like special themed Disney music playing throughout. It's going to be very, very Disney-ish.
And some characters.
And characters, exactly. Yeah. Socially distanced characters and entertainment. It's going to be pretty fun. We'll be watching YouTube like crazy. So that's the big one. And that brings us to our main topic for today.
There was an idea to bring together a couple of regular podcasters to see if they could talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We call it the Disney A Initiative.
Okay, so like we said, top of show, part one of phase three.
Well done. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like we have done before, let's do a very quick run through of all the movies we're going to be talking about. And then we'll go back and talk about them in a little bit more detail.
Okay.
So actually, I'm going to run through all of the movies of phase three. We're only talking about
the first half-ish.
Okay. So all of the ones in phase three, we start in 2016. We had Captain America Civil War and then Doctor Strange that year. In 2017, we had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, followed by Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, it was the first threefer, I think.
Yep, but it wasn't the last one, because in 2018, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp. So we are going to talk up until Black Panther today.
Yes.
But I'm going to keep running down for what's all in.
Stop right before the big...
Exactly.
The big
exactly.
Avengers, yeah.
In 2019, then we had our last three, which is Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, and Spider-Man Far From Home. So we have a few to talk about. One, two, three, four, five. We have six to talk... Holy! And that isn't even all of them. It was a busy phase.
Phase was big, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you split the Avengers capstone into two, and you're introducing a whole bunch more characters and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go back to the top, and let's start with Captain America Civil War.
So, technically, there's only two Avengers films in Phase 3. This is the third one.
Yeah, it totally is.
Because...
Everyone's in it.
It's a Captain America movie, but it's really just an Avengers movie.
Not only are the Avengers that we know already in it, but, like, it introduced more, too.
Yeah, it brings them into the fold. Like, it didn't introduce anybody.
It introduced Spider-Man. That was the
first
time
that's right,
him.
Yes. Yeah. They did introduce
and
Spider-Man.
And Black Panther.
That's true.
And Black Panther.
They did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big movie.
Yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. That's true. Black Panther. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it's just a humongous movie,
and
it's really well done, and it has maybe the best action sequence in it. That airport fight scene just fantastic.
So I was reading a lot of the original reviews about it, and people either loved that scene or hated it. I loved it.
Hey,
I'm in the love category. It was amazing.
It's perfect popcorn cinema with just crazy action, and you just sit back and enjoy it and don't worry about
it. Other highlights, so we introduced Spider-Man, we introduced Black Panther. It's the first time we get to see Wakanda during a mid-credit scene. And basically the big gist here is we're separating the Avengers into the factions,
right,
which plays throughout phase three. Why do you like the airport fight scene so much?
You have all these characters pairing off and they're fighting. It feels most like a comic book that we've ever seen on film.
It was very comic book like.
Super comic book. You have Spider-Man coming in and doing his little Spider-Man quips, and you have just the interaction of all these characters and they're fighting, and I don't know. It's just awesome.
There was a great line. I think it was in this one. It might have been in the first Spider-Man movie, but I think it was in this one. And it's when Tony Stark first meets Aunt May, and he's like, "Your Aunt May, you're so young." She's like, "Yeah, we come in all ages." She's always depicted as being an elderly lady.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Aunt May.
So you have your quips and things like
that. Yeah, definitely. No, it's great. And then not only is it like super fun, it also gets pretty serious. Like,
it really does.
The Tony Stark and Captain America stuff them at odds, like, it makes sense.
Yep.
And it seems realistic, and it's like there's actual drama there. It's I like it a lot.
Yeah. So, and that was the big one that kept getting said again and again when I was reading all these older reviews from when it first came out, was it was basically a drama and an action movie smushed into one.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the biggest criticism was, well, there were two big criticisms. One was that for a lot of the Avengers, like which side they ended up gravitating towards didn't necessarily make sense, or they didn't go into it very much. It was just like, oh, we want these two to fight each other, so they have to be on opposite sides. But I'm like, there's so many people. You can't go into the details for every single one. They kind of touched on like most of them, or you could at least see their loyalties and things.
I think you can extrapolate their motivations enough that it wasn't too far of
exactly.
a stretch. It is fine.
And the other one was just that there was so much shoved in there that it was people were like, oh, well, you know, that it goes into the same thing. You can't go super in depth. Well, you can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. It's movies are only so long, right? You can't have all those characters and all that epicness and go super in depth any more than they did, really. I love that fight scene. You could see the characterization. You got your fun quips and things like that. I thought the division was interesting. Like, one of the most memorable ones for me is when you have like Spider-Man and he's like making his little quips and things like that, and then you have like Ant-Man showing up who goes giant. Or Black Widow plays a bit of a role during the fight and everything like that, and she's got a few little quips and things like that, especially since of course she's fighting Clint during that, which is, you know, they're fighting but they're not really fighting kind of thing.
They definitely pulled their punches a little bit.
Well, she even says, she's like, you're pulling back a little bit, and she says, don't. So it was pretty awesome, just lots of awesome. But the big thought issues, like they talk about the morality of superheroes and guilt and repercussions for things, like they go into a lot of stuff, and this is part of the reason why I really, really like Marvel.
Mm-hmm. And it sets the stage for this phase three where they are divided and there are these moral implications and fallout from them going crazy against whatever villain that they're fighting. And it's stuff that you don't see done in haven't seen done in superhero films that much.
Yeah.
So
it's true. Like it makes it all more realistic, more believable. Okay, so anything to add for that one before we go on to the... Okay, so we have an origin story, Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So essentially, Doctor Strange learns the mystic arts and attempt to heal after a career-ending car crash. Comments on this one, there's a huge visual spectacle. It deals with mysticism and spirituality, which people loved that element to it. Benedict Cumberbatch was universally praised for this role.
Well, yeah. Cumberbatch is really cool. Seeing the magical side of Marvel for the first time is something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. You really haven't seen that. I guess like Scarlet Witch, but even that was a result of like experiments being done on her, right?
Yeah. No,
there's not that mysticism, spirituality element.
No, they're kind of leaning into that with her now.
Yes.
But no. Yeah. Doctor Strange was completely different.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Even though it kind of follows the same Marvel theory and all that template, it was still different enough that it was a pretty cool origin story.
Right, it was a completely different style again. Mid-credit scene, Thor meets with Doctor Strange, and that scene was directed by Taika Waititi. Because, of course, you have Thor Ragnarok coming on later, right? Basically, all of the actors, Tilda Swinton, Benedict Wong, Rachel McAdams, they all received high praise.
The double Benedict.
Yes. But Benedict Cumberbatch is probably his most famous role, at least prior to this, was Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was quite easy because both are very smart and super, super, super arrogant. He's like, no, I've got this. I just didn't have an English accent for it. So, yeah, really good. I would actually really like to watch this one again. We've seen it a couple times, but it's quite different. And, yeah, I feel like that's a good one to watch.
Might have to watch it before the sequel.
Yeah.
That WandaVision is apparently leading into.
Apparently, yes. And, of course, then you have the Time Stone is really highlighted here. We've seen...
Becomes pretty important.
Yeah, we've seen the stones throughout all of the MCU to date. But as we get closer to the end of this phase, they become more and more important. And you really see that in this one. Like, a lot. All right, and that takes us to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. What did you think of this one?
Well, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was a tough act to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that. And it's still fun, but it's not as good as the first Guardians.
Right.
You get to see all your favorite characters again, and Yondu has a great part in this
one. Great, so good.
It's just not as good as the first one.
Right. I read some critics that said critically it was probably better in some ways, but I was like, what? Really? No. I liked it. I just think it's a quintessential summertime movie. The note I jotted down here was, it is not the sneak attack awesomeness of the first movie, but still just lots of ridiculousness and fun. Like, part of, you knew, you had expectations now going into this one,
right?
Is, I think, part of the issue with it.
Yeah.
There was nothing really wrong with it. It didn't take itself too serious. It was serious, like you said, it's a serious popcorn movie, lots and lots of fun. At the end credits, you see Warlock and the Grand Master. Jeff Goldblum is dancing. So it's the first time you get to see him as the Grand Master. And I, of course, enjoy Jeff Goldblum a lot. So that was a really little fun piece. Now, one thing I do want to mention. So this happens almost immediately following Guardians of the Galaxy Part 1, which has been a few movies from now. I think it's supposed to be like 2 months or something. If you look on Disney Plus, you can watch the Marvel movies in chronological order instead of order of release date.
Yes. And so you have like Captain America first movie as your first movie, because that took place in the 40s.
Exactly.
And then it's followed up by Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Which isn't even, we are not even talking about that because it doesn't come out to the end of phase three, basically.
Exactly.
Or like near the end. But yeah, they go in chronological order, which is a kind of a cool way to look at it as well.
Yeah. Maybe next time we watch them all, we should watch them now that way.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That's what we did last time we watched all the Star Wars movies. We watched them all chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so anything to add other than that for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? We have some great lines, like Mary Poppins, y'all, is like...
So yeah, that is a very memeable moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's just not as good as the first one.
Totally agree. Yep. Then we have Spider-Man Homecoming. I like this one. I was not too sure going into it.
Well, it's interesting. We were introduced to Spider-Man in Civil War.
Yes.
And we had just seen a reboot of Spider-Man a couple years before, the Andrew Garfield version.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, yeah, another Spider-Man. We're going to have to watch Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah.
So they bypassed that by...
Totally.
Uncle Ben, he's already dead.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to...
There was no origin story to this.
No, it wasn't an origin story.
Spider-Man knows his powers. He's been doing his little thing and stuff like that. It's supposed to be a little thing. That's how Iron Man finds him in the first place, to bring him in during Civil War.
Yeah, he's gotten the awkward learning part over with already. He's already been in a big battle with a whole bunch of superheroes. And now he's trying to like find his place in this greater world.
Right.
While being in high school. So you got that high school drama thing going on in the background as well.
And one thing I really like about this Spider-Man is that's supposed to be, well, I mean, like, I didn't read all the Spider-Man comics or anything like that, but to me, that's the allure of Spider-Man, is he's not, you know, a billionaire with a bunch of money and gadgets and stuff like that. He's trying to deal with being a teenager. And when we listened to Stan Lee speak, and he was speaking about Spider-Man, he said that's the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Homecoming really deals with this super well. Another thing, Michael Keaton as a villain, I really liked him. First of all, I really like Michael Keaton, and it's kind of cool that he's in like a superhero movie again, right?
Again, yeah.
A little bit of a different role than the Batman.
He did a very good villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's another cool thing. This is a fallout from superheroes doing their thing. It's a theme that runs through this whole phase.
They don't just come and wave their magic wand and everything
still,
is fine.
It's along with WandaVision.
Exactly.
It's all fallout from Civil War.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even Civil War, that's fallout from the events from before, right? Like, when you have in Iron Man Part 2 that we talked about in Phase 2, he's dealing with the emotional trauma from the Battle of New York, and then that leads into Ultron, and then his events with Ultron are like, it's all just domino, and it affects one another, which is fantastic about Michael Keaton. MCU has an issue with villains. We've discussed this.
Yep.
Do you like this villain?
Yeah, no, he's good.
I do as well. He's just a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually sometimes sympathetic, which is why he works as a villain. First of all, he's I think it was the director. I'm trying to remember. Someone said that the plan was they wanted him to be like the dark Tony Stark. Like, if he didn't have all the breaks and he's just like the exact opposite of that.
Down on his luck, but still.
That regular guy, just nothing going for
still
him.
Still smart and just doing his best to provide or.
For his family and
defend
himself.
Defend who he cares about, kind of thing. And
so, like, that's pretty hard to argue with that. He just goes way off with it. And,
takes it a little far, maybe.
Yeah, takes it far.
A little murdery.
Yeah.
Maybe don't be murdery.
Maybe a little
murdery. Yeah.
So people praised Keaton and Holland for this one, essentially, and they're still praising Tom Holland for being Spider-Man. So the cleanup crew, Damage Control, I had to look them up again because I didn't really remember what their name was or anything. So they appear in the film, and they've been discussed in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man previously. because there was supposed to be a TV show about them.
Right, yeah.
Which makes sense now when you're thinking about it. They kind of built them as this, like, collective group and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to make some spinoffs of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Back when they still didn't... The MCU had TV shows, but they were separate.
Right.
Separate departments. Like, Kevin Feige talks about it to this day. He's like, he didn't have any control over the TV division.
Right.
And now he does. He's really excited about it. That's why we're getting stuff like WandaVision.
Exactly.
And Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's why they can all work with each other.
Yeah. It's better now.
Do you want to know my favorite things about this movie? Not only is Tom Holland is Spider-Man, Peter Parker, trying to balance that stuff, but the little details that have infiltrated, like, regular life are fantastic. It makes the whole thing, like, it's not just this one-off superhero event, right? Like you said, like, there's a cleanup crew, there's things like that, but Peter Parker learns about the Sokovia Accords in class. There are pictures of Bruce Banner and Tony Stark at the school. And then, of course, the Captain America educational videos.
Oh, now there's a meme. We're talking about memes. Captain America pulling his chair around backwards.
Hey,
it's perfect. Like, and if you had superheroes in real life, that's what they would do.
Exactly.
They would have these PSAs and all that stuff.
And I'm why did it take so long to figure this out? Yeah. When they're like, I don't remember the character's name, but the one who doesn't like Peter Parker, and he's talking about, oh, I'm friends with Spider-Man, like, I follow him on Instagram. Yeah.
Yep.
So immediately after that, we have Thor Ragnarok. And the first comment I jotted down here was, Taika Waititi, 3 exclamation points.
Yeah. So we talked about it in Phase 2.
Yeah.
Thor 2 was probably the biggest misfire the MCU has ever had.
Yeah, did you not hear me go?
Yeah. Pretty much almost killed the Thor franchise. Like, Chris Hemsworth was like, once my contract's up, I'm kind of out of here. This is kind of boring and no good. And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so Taika Waititi came in and was like, well, let me try something completely different.
Oh my God, did that work?
And yeah, so they have a few comic book influences here, mainly Planet Hulk. So the whole thing of him fighting in the gladiatorial battles was a whole comic series.
Oh, cool.
That they pulled from there. And that's just a really cool thing to explore.
Right.
I mean, Hulk being a gladiator, that's awesome.
And we've talked before about how problematic, shockingly problematic, Hulk actually is in the movies. Because, like, you'd think that you could just have, like, this crazy action guy and stuff like that. He's a big green monster, rage monster. But they haven't had a whole lot of success. So putting him in this scene, in this setting and stuff like that is super interesting. I really like that.
Not only is this the best Thor movie, it's also the best Hulk movie. Because Hulk is, like, basically the main character of this as well. Co-main character. Because you get Thor as kind of like the straight man to Hulk.
Right.
He can be his most hulkiest Hulk without relying on having this weird drama thing with him being Bruce Banner part of the time and him being Hulk part of the time and, like, trying to make that work.
Yeah, plus they play off of each other super well. I mean, you've got that they're both incredibly strong and things like that, but they're both kind of, like, when you break it down, they're quite ridiculous. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And that's totally embraced. I mean, Taika Waititi is perfect for embracing the ridiculousness of it all. And then, you know what would be even more ridiculous? Let's throw Jeff Goldblum in there.
Jeff Goldblum doing Jeff Goldblum stuff with weird face makeup.
I was gonna say, they gave him makeup, but they dyed his hair brown, and it's totally not the same.
Yeah.
So, Kate Blanchett as Hela. I think she just is having a blast during this. Great. Weird off character. I don't know how I feel about her as a villain. I just enjoy her role in this.
Well, I mean, it's a really good villain character. Mm-hmm. It's like someone who's just has an attitude and is like, yeah, I'm the best and I'm gonna do it. And to play off of, like, Loki's in this movie as well.
Yes, he is.
And she kind of upstages Loki even.
And I love Loki in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's good.
There's also, I really, really want to give a shout out to someone else who's in this movie. Matt Damon is in this movie.
Yes.
So there are several.
Blink and you'll miss it.
Yep.
But he's in it.
There are several cameos in a sequence where Asgardian actors perform a play based on the events of the Dark World. Probably the best thing that came from the Dark World, actually. Sam Neill plays the Odin actor. Luke Hemsworth, as in the brother of Chris Hemsworth, which is also awesome, plays the Thor actor, and Matt Damon plays the Loki actor, and that is hilarious. Yeah. That is a fantastic scene.
It is really funny.
Yep. So we have, you know, some other characters come in. Of course, we have Jeff Goldblum. Valkyrie shows up.
Valkyrie was very good.
I just really like her as a character.
Alcoholic Asgardian.
Exactly. Yeah, well, of course, you would... Guess what? These superheroes have some, you know, demons, sometimes literal, sometimes figurative,
yeah,
attached to them. Mm-hmm. And this is an excellent example of that.
Exactly.
And, of course, Korg.
I am Korg.
Played by Taika Waititi.
Yes.
He did different motion capture elements throughout, but he did all of it for Korg as well as the voice. But yeah, he did a few other scenes too. So, but that was why I'm Korg. it was praised almost universally.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic movie. Like,
and then over and over, its tone was just mentioned, and of course, that's just how that works.
Saved Thor.
Yep, it is goofy and campy and marvelously self-referential, it says. I loved the banter between Thor and Loki when they're going into the ship and they're just like, oh, not again. they're the most brotherly, I think, of the whole thing, which I really like. Now, some critics claim that Thor Ragnarok conceals sophisticated commentary under its comedic presentation, specifically on themes of colonial history and indigenous people. I think those themes are present, but they're present in the way that it, like, the entire movie doesn't take it too itself too seriously.
It's not a ham-fisted social commentary.
Exactly.
It's just an embedded theme, like a lot of Taika Waititi's movies. He's got a serious aspect to it, even though sometimes they're just goofy.
Which is why he's fantastic.
This
dude might be my favorite filmmaker right now.
He's really good.
Yeah. Of course, it immediately following this. Like, the post-credit scene is what leads directly into Avengers Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to talk about next episode. But if you want to watch right into it, you've got to watch this and talk about a different tone between two movies. This is nice. It's refreshing. It's super, super fun. And, I mean, they even make fun of Tony Stark's clothing during it. Just really, really light, really, really fun. And the tone definitely juxtaposed with Infinity War, which is, it's a nice breath before we get into the big stuff. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it works well.
Yeah. But before we get to Infinity War, which we're not talking about today at all, actually, we had Black Panther. Now here's the social commentary one.
Not really an origin story, but a full introduction to a character.
Yeah, I still classify it, even though, like you said, it's not a full origin story. I classify it as an origin story, more so than Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
We've seen his origin so many times. This way, we at least see how this guy's becoming the Black Panther. It might be because it's our first, you know, cinematic introduction into this world, but we get all the exposition and everything else as part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is actually set almost immediately after the events of Captain America: Civil War. So again, if you're watching chronologically, you're jumping around a bit. They're going this way. Essentially, it was universally praised. Absolutely visually stunning.
Big deal, this movie.
This is a big, big, big deal. So I actually have a lot of quotations here because Black Panther's importance, like, we can watch it and mm-hmm. say, first of all, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
It's an important movie. We cannot really speak effectively to part of the reason why, well, to the main reason why this was such an important movie. Quite frankly, because we're white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Representation is something that is tough to fully comprehend from our position of privilege. But yeah, this took hold of social consciousness in a way that
is profound.
Yeah. It was big. It was huge.
So instead of me trying to talk about that, I found some quotations of people who are better at talking about it.
Good idea.
And I'll just speak from them. So there was some criticism over some CGI moments, but they said basically it was so minor in comparison to the everything else being so grand that, like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, the climactic battle is a little CGI-ish, but
that was literally it. They're like, oh, this one flip didn't look great.
Yeah.
Like, that was, superb casting across the board, like, everyone.
Yeah.
Excellent storytelling and exploration of themes. So here are quotations. An exhilarating triumph on every level, from writing, directing, acting, production design, costumes, music, special effects, to you name it. It is a movement, a revolution in progress, and a joy to experience, all wrapped into one. It is the most political movie ever produced by Marvel Studios. I will definitely agree to that. Yeah. Both in its very existence and in the questions its story raises. So not only is it political in themes and plot and content, but just the movie existing itself. It is a powerful fictional analogy for real life struggles. Yeah, so those were the specific quotations from that. Just over and over again, everything I read was how important it was and how significant it was. Not only for as far as particularly African-American representation, but also strong female characters.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
In fact, we can thank Shuri for this. Appreciation for technology and science in schools from females, particularly African-American females, went through the roof. Well, in comparison, I mean, yeah. There was very, very little enrollment. And then...
That's good.
I can't remember the percentage was, but it was like 167% or something like that increase on enrollment. It was probably the most studied for its cultural significance. There have been some debates on elements and message and things, and it was, of course, nominated for several Academy Awards, including it as the first superhero one ever nominated for Best Picture. And it won 3 Academy Awards. Yeah. What did you think of this movie?
I liked it. It's not my favorite Marvel movie, but it's, of course, not as important to me as it might be to others. The villain, it's got a good villain.
It's a great villain, yeah. And Wakanda is fantastic.
Yeah, Wakanda is very cool, like this technological place.
Technological, but still, like, there's this... It's a weird mesh of tech and also, like, nature all together. And that's really hard to do in movies. They generally suck at it. But Wakanda was awesome.
Yeah.
And I love Shuri. She's my favorite part. I'm very curious to see what they do with the second one.
Yeah.
Now that Chad Boswick is no longer.
Yes. So that is a little tough now. They're still going ahead with the sequel. Yep. They're not recasting or doing any CGI replacement of him. So I don't know. But as a standalone movie, and as it ties into Infinity War as well, because of course that takes place significantly in Wakanda as well.
Yes.
It's good.
Yep.
Like there is no misses in Phase 3.
None. So I said, do you want to pick a favorite and a least favorite? Good luck picking a least favorite, because my God, these are fantastic movies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so for this first half, which one is your favorite?
Oh my God. Like literally going through this, because it depends on my mood. Actually, like, there's no standout. This is my absolute favorite one. Right now, like when I'm going through them, I might go Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
Just I love the compilation ones, and this is basically a compilation one. I would
ensemble?
Like to. Yes, thank you. Yes, it's not an album.
Yeah.
Yes, I always pick the ensemble ones. Mm-hmm. This is the ensemble one. I don't know. And plus, you know, my favorite character, I always say, is Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, and she has a big, like, this is a thing for her, isn't
this
movie? She's
basically the inciting incident of the Civil War.
But part of the reason why I love her so much and I love her representation throughout the MCU films gets shown in this. And it is her, like, struggle. Like, she's trying to help, but she's young and things go badly and she has this incredible guilt and it's so hard, but I think I might pick that one, even though I was just thinking, I don't remember all the details from that, we should watch it again. Plus I want to appreciate Winter Soldier more as well, and he has a big part in this, so
he does. Yes.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I'm gonna have to go with Thor Ragnarok, just because it was the biggest surprise.
Yeah, that's fair.
And yeah, it's just really good.
I definitely had the most fun watching that out of all of them. And it is the most rewatchable, I think, out of all of them.
They're all pretty rewatchable.
That's true. We have rewatched them all.
But yeah, no, it was the biggest surprise, especially after coming out of Thor 2. That was just so terrible.
Yeah. I'll give you that. When you asked me my favorite, I was choosing between Civil War and Thor Ragnarok. So that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay, so
biggest surprise and a lot of fun, right?
Yeah. So are you? How are you gonna pick a nope. a least favorite? No, you're not.
Well, you're gonna go first because I went first this for the favorite.
This one might surprise you actually, but I'm gonna go with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Really?
I guess I liked Guardians of the Galaxy 1 so much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That this was a bit of a step down for me.
Okay.
And yeah, it's got a bit of a villain problem as well.
It does. That is
parts of him are good. Ego. Parts of it are good, but then it gets a little silly.
Instead of calling it Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, they should have called it Guardians of the Galaxy Peter Quill's Daddy Issues.
Wow. All these characters have daddy issues, don't they? Like,
yeah.
Pretty much all of
Iron
them.
Man. Iron Man.
Pretty much all of them. Black Panther.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Spider-Man doesn't have daddy issues. He has Uncle Ben issues.
Who is his daddy?
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's his father role.
He may be your father.
Yeah.
But I'm your daddy. See? Yeah, there you go.
It's fair. It's fair. Oh. Okay. I don't know, Brandon. I might. I have two that I really like, but they just don't like them as much as the other ones. And that is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2
mm-hmm.
and Spider-Man Homecoming. So I'm going to go Spider-Man Homecoming. I loved this movie. I probably didn't love it as much as the other ones.
Mm.
And I was very, very pleasantly surprised. I kind of had Spider-Man burnout. I've never...
You and everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, doing this was a big risk, and it
exactly.
it actually turned out
pretty
totally well.
It totally 100% did. I had zero expectations for it. And on top of that, I've never been a massive, massive Spider-Man fan. Like, I don't know if it's just I was not an awkward teenage boy or something. But, like, I don't know. I just never got him.
He's just overpopular.
I think that might be it. And so everyone, part of the problem. It's the same thing. Yeah. Like, I never, on DC side, I had... Like, Batman's fine, and the Batman movies are fun and stuff like that, but, like, meh.
You go overrated, and it's not as fun anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think that was my problem with Spider-Man. So I will say this was such a huge, pleasant surprise. I really, really love this movie. I love Michael Keaton as the villain. It's a good villain. And but still, when you're up against these other movies, something's coming in last. It's going to be this one. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 would probably be right almost on par with that for me. For the same kind of reason you said. It's not as good as Volume 1. However, there was one character for me bumped it up, and he may have been your father. But no, there was just some elements with him that just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like
if I can like literally burst out laughing and burst out bawling in the same movie, that is something crazy, and that was
it's
movie.
It's tough because these are all good.
They're all good.
I like
them. They're all good.
They're all thumbs up.
Thumbs up for yeah. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Anything to add for these guys?
No, we just set the stage, and then you go into the big two parter.
Well, that's the thing is that's a big one coming next week.
Yeah. So ... to be continued. Please stand by.
Oh, nice WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanos will return. Hey, we're still here. We haven't been dusted.
Oh, sweet.
Sweet. Oh, wait, no, that's the next episode. That's the next. Infinity War's next.
Flip a coin. We both came up heads, I guess.
Sweet.
And we're still here.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay.
So that brings us to trivia then. Now, I asked you questions last week, and I asked you several, more than three. I was super enthusiastic about the 1950s,
you
apparently.
You sure were, yeah.
Well, you know what it is? You answered the first two so quickly and readily that I had to keep going.
Oh, yeah. You're like, couldn't let me have happiness. And you're like, no.
Okay, so I asked you all questions about the 1950s. The first question I asked you was about which of the attractions based on movies from the 1950s was originally planned to be a walkthrough. This is what you said.
That would be Alice in Wonderland.
Hmm. Absolutely correct. You knew this was right. It's Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
They were obsessed with the walkthrough things, just like you said. They kind of had this idea of doing, like, the maze thing with the playing cards, like, at the end.
Which would be fun.
Totally fun. Walkthroughs were cheaper to make, but you can't get as many people through them. So, there was that. Alice in Wonderland, 100% correct. Next, I asked you about, on Walt Disney's Disneyland, they had a special on there that was one of the ones that became synonymous with the 1950s. And, in fact, it even gave rise to a fashion hat item that boys wore. You said without any hesitation it was
Davy Crockett.
And that is absolutely correct.
Yeah. I mean, coonskin hats are cool, so.
Right, exactly. It's even, we always watch Christmas Story, and dude wears them in that, yep. Mm-hmm. And he's tough. this one, I love this trivia piece, and it's not just because you got it wrong. I asked you during the original broadcast of the opening of Disneyland. Art Linkletter was the host, and he had two assistants. I asked you the name of a young act who was his assistant, who actually gained more popularity, or at least more fame, later on in his life. This is what you said.
Boy, I have no idea.
Okay. And the answer is Ronald Reagan.
Future president.
Exactly.
Ronald Reagan, yeah. Yep. I almost, like, threw that out as a random guess, but I thought it was kind of dumb. I guess it was not dumb.
Not that dumb. Not that dumb. Number four, I asked you about, because in the 50s was the first time that they, well, I mean, with Bambi and things like that, that was based on a children's book, but predominantly they were looking at traditional fairy tales, but this one they actually went towards children's lit novels book. I asked you to name one of the authors of one of the pieces that was for the source material. This is what you said.
What's his name? Creepy guy. He does the thing.
So you knew what you were talking about, you just didn't remember the name.
I was having a brain cramp moment, and yeah. What was playing over in my head repeatedly was C.S. Lewis, because I knew that wasn't right.
Yeah, but I totally get where you came from, because Lewis Carroll.
Exactly.
So such a similar name.
Yes.
He wrote Alice in Wonderland and Alice Through the Looking Glass. You also mentioned Finding Neverland, and that was done by J.M. Barrie, or I think it's James Matthews Barrie, but I don't 100% remember that. But it's J.M. Barrie, anyway, who wrote Peter Pan, and you're right, it was originally written for the stage. And both of them, you were right, were questionable individuals.
Yeah.
At least questionable looking. No one knows anything, but at least questionable looking through our lens now.
Artists, they're weird anyway.
Yeah. Well, and then the last question, I wanted to give you a nice gimme. I asked you what Alice's cat's name was, and this is what you said.
Yeah, I don't know. It started with a D. I don't know.
It does start with a D.
It starts with a D and something.
So my nice gimme was not that nice.
Something with a D, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's Dinah.
Nah.
Yeah. All right, so not bad.
Yeah, it was, what can you do?
Yeah.
You only do your best.
That's right.
So I guess I have to ask you some questions now.
Yes, and please be kind.
So we were talking about Marvel today.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you some Marvel questions.
Makes sense to me. Save some for next week, too.
Yeah, no. We might have to come up with something else for next week, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. I'm ready.
So we had the origin story for Doctor Strange in Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
Before he became the magical, mystical arts person that he is in Doctor Strange. He is the doctor part of Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. We're using our made-up names.
Yes. What is his medical specialty?
He's like, it's something so finite. I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say brain surgeon. Like, it's something super specialized and, like,
yeah, he's a specialist,
really
yeah.
important.
It's not brain surgery?
Exactly.
So you're going to go with brain surgeon?
Yeah, okay. I don't, it was heart. Heart? No, I think brain's, it's pediatric. No, I'm going to go brain surgery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right, but that's whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
So you mentioned that Black Panther was nominated for a bunch of Oscars.
Yes.
And it won 3.
Yep.
Can you name those 3 that it won?
I could when I was making my notes, but I don't know if I remember now.
Yeah.
I know it won Best Costume, because those costumes were insane.
The costumes were insane, and we got to see those in person.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was in the before times.
In the before times, yes. They had a traveling Marvel exhibit, and they had several costumes and a bunch from Black Panther, because they were just really fantastic costumes.
Oh, totally. In fact, if you jump on our Instagram and scroll back a little bit, a while ago, I think it was right before WandaVision came out, I was posting, you know, looking back at some Marvel content stuff, and that was you can see some of the images. It was great costume. So I know one was costume design.
Okay.
I feel like one was a sound one, but I always get confused between sound editing and sound mixing.
You and everybody else.
Exactly. I don't know, any meeny miny mo. I'll go sound mixing, maybe. This is action scenes. It's gotta be one of the sound ones. And then what would be the next? If you can give me a hint.
No.
Is one of the categories something that would be not announced during the live?
No. Okay. No. These were all like...
Major ones.
They weren't major categories. Like, they're not the big...
Right, right.
Big
yeah,
ones,
yeah.
But they were on part of the main broadcast.
Okay, that's sure. That's what I mean, because I know they do the science and tech ones.
Yeah, no.
And I was like, I'm sure that one for stuff like
those
that.
Those aren't real Oscars.
Oh.
Well, they're not.
Okay, so you know what? I'm going to say sound editing and sound mixing.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the costume design. I'm like quite certain about the costume design, because if it didn't, it probably should have.
Okay.
All right.
And so this question isn't part of Phase 3.
Oh.
But it is a Marvel question.
Okay.
And it's related to a movie from Phase 3.
Okay.
At the end of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1,
uh-huh.
They have a dance-off.
Yes.
What song are they dancing off to?
I literally had this on my Spotify playlist, and I always think of the movie, and now my...
Or you can name the band that sang it.
No, that's not helping.
Name that tune.
I know.
Dance off, bro.
I know. And the thing is, if I heard the opening note, I'd be able to, like, sing it all. It's just my brain fart.
I wouldn't be able to tell you, so.
This is driving me, like, it's seriously on a Spotify playlist that I was listening to, like, putting away laundry the other day.
Did you do a dance off with your laundry?
Of course. Wouldn't you? I don't have the moves that Peter does, but, you know. You know, we're going to stop recording. I'm going to, like, just shout it out because it's, like, it's just, yep.
Not on the tip of your tongue.
It's not on the tip of my tongue.
Well, that's too bad. Okay, I'll give you...
That's such a great soundtrack.
I'll give you one more as a gimme then.
Thank you.
When Scott Lang,
yeah.
The new Ant-Man, is released from prison, where does he work? Where does he get a job at?
Baskin-Robbins. Baskin Robbins always knows. They always finds out.
That is a good scene. Okay. That's probably enough trivia for today.
Yeah, okay.
Tune in next week to find out
the
which
song
ones...
that's on the tip of my tongue
yes.
still, and it's just not there.
What could it be? I don't know.
No, it's driving me crazy. Like, absolutely crazy. Okay. All right. Well, tune in next week or message and tell me what it is as I'm not recording anymore. And also, don't forget to vote for Dark Ride Options.
March Madness.
Yes. You can do that through our social media or our website. And also, you know, if you have any Marvel trivia, because we are talking the rest of Phase 3 next week. Thank you for El Mule, who is responsible for our custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website. Our website is disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media, like I said, Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. You can use those options to chat with us and vote for March Madness right now and comment on our trivia. We'd love to hear from you. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and basically all of them.
Yeah. Podcasts.
Podcasts. All the podcasts. Please review our podcast and subscribe. And if you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them. We will read your review if you post one out on the air. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesdays and Fridays, also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Magic of the Mouse Radio is also doing a Disney-themed March Madness.
Mm.
They have a very extensive bracket, though, so definitely check them out. I was looking at it on Instagram, but their Facebook has it and everything. So be sure to check them out.
March Madness is fun.
It is.
As long as it's not basketball.
No, Disney March Madness is way more fun. So join us next week, like I said, when we continue our month of Marvel within our year of Marvel.
Year of Marvel.
We're going to chat about the rest of Phase 3. The biggies.
The
are
biggies.
Coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy. So until then, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. Bruce Banner's walking around and his jeans are like, why is your clothes so tight?
Please stand by.
Oh, yeah. Thanos will return.